I think that sexuality is really linked to inner parts of our psyche and parts of ourselves that may want to be healed and released if we allow it to be. The pattern that I notice is a lot of times fetishes are linked to either things that are surrounding like deep taboo, deep shame, deep embarrassment, or like traumatic moments in someone's life.
I feel like we didn't hang out as much the first time.
It's true. We had a bit more time this time to kind of shoot the shit, chit chat, all that good stuff.
Yeah, it was like overnight. We had more quality time.
Sorry,
together.
Was it only shooting the shit, or was there more that happened? I haven't heard about the trip yet, and so I'm like, ooh, was there like lots of sexy time? I don't know.
I mean, I definitely have a highlight. It was something I'm going to cherish till the day I die, which was that it was my first time fisting, and I just got so much out of it. I never could have imagined how much I was going to get out of it. I like watched the video back today and listened to my voice. Like, it's like my, I was, wow, this is amazing.
Oh my God. Yeah. Anytime I've seen or experienced fisting, I always feel the same way. It's like, what the, this is crazy. Yeah.
Crazy up in here, guys.
All right. Well, everybody, welcome to another episode of Girls Gone Deep. We have a very special guest today. Her name is Sasha Silver. And so she's coming on today to talk about a little bit of sex work, life in live camming and chatterbait, and maybe some financial domination or what's called FinDom. And so just to introduce ourselves, I'm Elle.
And I'm V.
And Sasha, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, you guys.
Yes. So I met Sasha in Nicaragua, and she is the roommate at one point of Svetlana. So I met her a year and a half ago, as you guys just heard. And so we got to spend a little bit more quality time together this past trip that we were there. So I wanted to bring her on because she's just oozes goddess energy, and you love what you do. And I think that sex work just has this stigma to it where it feels like, and it, you know, I'm going to use some strong words like dirty, or it's like low energy. And you have, when you were explaining it to me and sharing stories about you and your work and your clients, you just brought so much light to it and positivity. Mm-hmm. And I just want to share that with the world because I think it's a misunderstood line of work, and you're going to help us understand a little bit better.
It'll be a joy. I love what I do.
Yeah. So I guess we'll just start off with the first question. Like, why, what got you into sex work? Like, how did you get into it? How did you get started?
Yeah, I guess my first door was actually starting off with a little bit of naughty parties, doing a little bit of stripping at parties. And it was totally out of my comfort zone at the time. And I kind of just was like, this is kind of awesome. Like, I love the confidence boost. But I'd always kind of had even more of an interest in it, in doing more cam stuff, just because it just seemed to fit my personality a bit more. And online, you know, you're dealing with like some nerds and like stuff like that. So it felt a little bit more conducive to me. And when the pandemic hit, I finally had the time to just dedicate like 2 weeks full time to learning cam. And I mean, even like as a bottle service waitress, in some ways, I was comfortable like being flirtatious and having this little push and pull. So I felt like it would be a good transition. Started off on my free cams, like a little deer in headlights, and luckily enough, found a mentor who took me through and gave me some really good pointers. And then it's just really evolved from there. Yeah, there's been times where I haven't cammed at all, and then I come back to it like a storm.
Okay, sorry. So first of all, I'm coming into this cold. I'm so excited because Elle just kind of like said, I have someone really good to interview. Like, let's bring her on. And I purposefully like did not want to ask many questions because I wanted to kind of just like ask questions in real time, like I would in a normal conversation. So camming, and I'm going to sound maybe a little bit naive here or like a novice, but so with camming, it's like basically, I don't know, I can go to a website. This is literally like my level of knowledge of camming. So I go to a website where I can get a girl live and either talk to her or just like watch her play with herself or what?
Pretty much, yeah. You kind of have it. It's basically a live stream. And typically how it's going to work is you're going to have a public room with hopefully lots of people. And then there's options for them to have like a menu, like, oh, if you want to see me suck my fingers, it's X amount of tokens. So there's ways to interact in public. Mm. There's also ways to do a private show from the public room. And that's usually a model's, you know, most lucrative thing. That's what she wants. Take me for a private. So that's kind of when I refer to camming, I'm pretty much specifically talking about that structure, which is, live streaming. You have people that are able to see you come in. And then from there, the play can begin.
And there's an art to it. So like you said, you had a mentor and stuff. What are some of the, like, what's a tip or two that changed your cam style forever?
Yeah, honestly, one of the easiest things is really poses. So most cam sites, they're going to take a screen grab of your room every 30 or so seconds to keep it fresh. And so when people are scrolling through the page of models, if your face is like, you know, messed up. So I found ways to always keep my body able to have good angles. And when my transitions were transitioning, it was always very smooth. And so I think this is one thing that really helps make my stream appear more quality is just the fact that I know my positions, I know my little routine, and people come in and I do my best to show off my best assets every minute. I don't waste a second.
That's a great tip. Thank you. And so what are you doing in these poses? Like, are you talking? Are you touching yourself? Are you stripping? Do you get nude?
Yeah, I used to get nude more in public. And then actually a funny thing happened. I started getting my shows recorded and uploaded, and that was crappy.
That's without your permission.
Yeah, that was really not a fun feeling. And I'm so blessed and lucky. Shout out to Remove Tech. They're my amazing guys. They scour the internet for anything of mine now, and it's off like that. It's so
very,
very amazing team. I love them. I've actually talked with them personally. They're great. So if anybody else is interested, check out Remove Tech. But besides the point, I did used to kind of basically you come in the room. My shtick is like at that time, I was very girl next door. I was very fun. I was always engaging and trying to keep the conversation going. Some girls will do the style where they're just hooked up to a fucking machine and you tip them and that moves the fucking machine, right? So it's that. It is everything in between. And like I was always told, you know, it's kind of good to keep your private stuff to private because it just keeps sort of that a little bit of a fourth wall, a little bit of like take me private and then XYZ. So that's something that I've kind of always like, oh, it's not something I'll do in public, for example. Like there's things that I wouldn't do in a public show that I'm, no, you got to take me private for that.
Because if they get it for free, why would they pay for it?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just a different business model, right? Because if you have 8,000 people in your room, it doesn't matter if only two of them are tipping you because you have so much attention, it doesn't matter. And that just comes down to personal comfortability. Like for me, I really do more enjoy kind of one-on-one play and getting to know somebody because that part of it, especially once my shows start getting recorded, honestly, that was really a bit of a turnoff, you know? It was really not as fun to be like, but that's okay. I just evolved and I would not go back now. I'm super grateful for where I'm at now and my business structure has changed a lot.
It is. Nitty gritty stuff of being a cam girl. And is that a good term to use or is that derogatory in any kind of way?
I would say cam girl works. And at the same time, while I would say that what I'm doing isn't not camming, it's also not what I would describe myself as now. I would say that I'm a femdom or an online dominatrix. But essentially you're using similar, you know, concepts. It's all online. It's all exchanges, etc.
Okay. So when you first started, like what were some of your on these live cams, what were some of your menu options? Like what could we order from you?
Yeah. So one thing that all my old subscribers will remember me for is Spanx. I had like kind of, because I really like Spanx, to be honest. And I don't hold back. I have a very high pain tolerance. So this was kind of a joke that we had in our room. We had like Sasha's Spanx army where you had to like, you could get like a special icon in the chat if you're giving me so many spanks. And it was fun. Like, my ass sometimes would be like as red as the shirt I'm wearing.
Oh my God.
Yeah, though, that was fun. I thought it was great because I didn't hold back. And so that was one thing I was really like known for. And another thing that I loved doing was sex stories, because I actually do have some pretty fun stories, and I've been kind of adventurous with some open stuff and some parties, and I've had experiences that people just, especially, you know, just people who are not living in a female body sometimes, just, you know, these nerds in their bedrooms are like, you said what? And you came out of the limo and there was a DJ there. Like, they just get really like, wow, is this real? So that was really fun. And I loved kind of also sharing some parts of my personal life in a way that still felt like, you know, safe and removed. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when you were doing this, sorry, was this a full-time job for you?
Yeah, it was at times a full-time job. Definitely in the last 3 years, it's been full-time. And then it was about a year and a half to 2 years before that of like, you know, I was doing it and my boyfriend didn't like it. And then like, I would like do it again. Be like, but it's really fun. And then when I was single, I would just be like, go, 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 go. And then it's like phone love. And it's like, oh, you don't like this. But those were the old days.
Yeah. So you do it for a full-time job. I've seen some like live Chatterbait couples and people who will be on for 4 to 5 hours straight, just fucking. And yeah. What would it be like in a day's worth of work for you? How many hours would you put in? What does it look like?
Yeah. So for me, I found that my sweet spot was 2 to 3, and I would try to do 2 to 3, 4 to 5 times a week. But this is one of the things that I'm grateful for where I've evolved to, because it was difficult. It was kind of draining sometimes. And the only way I would earn an income was to physically show up and, you know, sign myself up to be in lingerie and have lots of people see me. And like, you know, that can be conflicting when you're having a great date, a day where you don't feel so great, you know. So that was difficult, I think, a little bit for me to manage. Sometimes I would overwork and then I would not want to hop online again for a couple weeks because it was just, you know, it's full attention and people can come in and they can just say whatever, right? And they leave. And
you're not getting paid all the time, right?
No.
So you could go, you could show up at your best, do your best work, and then not even come out making what you think you'd be making that day.
There's no guarantee.
And in that time, like, I have to be focused. I can't answer texts. You know, I have to be really, really 100% present. And so for that reason, I did find that it was a little bit more difficult, I would say, of an actual job.
Mm-hmm. So you talked about your transition. So like, you know, I can understand the frustrations that come with that type of position, like working for that dollar every live. You talked about now being a femdom. How did you make that transition? How did you stumble into that? And what's your primary line of work now?
Yeah. So it's kind of funny because my first foray into the world of femdom was in person with somebody who was my partner at the time and asked me. And I had always been kind of an alpha woman with anything to do with work, but it seemed like it hadn't translated into sexuality, which I think a lot of women can probably relate with. And so I started to discover what femdom was. And I actually did as much research and learned as much as I could for close to a year before I really made the transition, because it's just such a vast world. And it was really important to me to make sure that, A, you know, I could show up and step into that and really hold that and make sure that I was doing a good job and that I knew sort of the practices of, you know, what should I be asking people and how should I be ending calls and how do I make sure that I still feel good about what I'm doing. And so it was definitely like, I'm somebody who likes to really know what I'm doing before I step into it. And it made it great for me because I feel that it was a really smooth transition. I really felt like once I made that transition, I felt a lot more authentic to myself. And it really started to feel like so much fun. Like, yeah.
Are you dominant or submissive in your private life, or are you switchy?
You know, I really thought that I was submissive. I really did. I really did. And with that old partner of mine that I was scared. Like, I was just scared of saying the wrong thing or doing the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. And then as this has kind of gone on, I mean, I've also become more comfortable in cam. I have completely realized that I am a switch. I have completely realized that just like, you know, sexuality may be on a spectrum, so is dominance versus submissiveness, you know? Mm-hmm. And so my turn on and my arousal comes from a very different place. I mean, I get off on like wow, you're going to do that for me? You know, you're going to keep doing that for me? And like, I really start to get turned on when it's like just the power exchange and just kind of knowing when I see their eyes glaze over and I just have them right there. It's like, how is that not a turn on? Of course it is.
Yeah.
Like it. And so I really started to learn a lot about myself of like, wow, actually, maybe I was just shying away from my dominant side because I was afraid of, I don't know, not being polite or asking too much. And this unexpectedly, this journey into becoming a dominatrix has done a lot of work on me internally. And this is one of those areas where I find myself a lot more assertive, a lot more able to own what the fuck I want and to ask for it and to not feel bad about it and to be okay with like, I want this and therefore I should have it for the simple reason that I want it. I don't need any other reason. Like I kind of want, you know?
Yeah.
And also just speaking up for my boundaries and my no's and my yeses. And it's just been a very deep internal journey that I don't know if I really knew that was going to happen when I signed up for this, but I could not be more grateful.
So it's like translated into real life. And so you're saying when I'm having trouble, like asking for what I need or want, I just need to channel my inner dominatrix V.
Yeah. Yeah.
Honestly, I wish that more people did because I think that it's really within us. And I just realized the areas of my life I already was dominant. I had no problem being the boss at work. I had no problem bossing around coworkers. But for some reason with men, I just kind of assumed that my role was meant to always be submissive. It was really kind of a huge unlearning and kind of, you know, screwing my head back on again to sort of reinvent and realize that actually I should be the one calling the shots.
I love that. Wait, so please tell us some tips. How did you get to this level of confidence? Because I'm craving for this energy and you ooze it now. You know, I
Thank
love
you.
It.
You know, that's a great question. And I think it happened slowly, but it happened progressively by just trying. The thing is, when somebody comes to you with this, when they have a kink, the thing that everybody should know is like, if you even get it like 50% correct, they are going to be thrilled. You know what I mean? It really doesn't need to be perfect. Because if this is somebody's kink above kinks, like if you just repeat back to them, even words they've said, like, of course, in time, you want to be able to develop this dance and this push and pull. But if someone comes to you, if you want to just try it out, like, sometimes it just takes time to get used to hearing yourself say things like, you're such a little bitch for me. I know you love embarrassing yourself for me. Please stop. It's so embarrassing. Stop begging. Ugh, okay, I guess you can give yourself another wedgie if it makes you happy.
I love that.
You know, it takes time to hear these things coming in.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
Or becoming comfortable with somebody, you know, I had a call yesterday where somebody's like, destroy me, humiliate me, you know, and it takes time to find your place of like, do I feel aligned and can I ethically rip this person to shreds right now? And how will I feel after and how will they feel after? And but you find a place in time where you start to learn who you are. You start to learn who this dominatrix side of you wants to be. And it's really beautiful as it starts to unfold.
So I want you to take us through an interaction with a client. And number one, do you have repeat clients or is it like, so you said you're like no longer a cam girl. What platform are you on? How do these people find you?
Yeah. So there's a couple platforms that I use that are pretty much geared towards femdom. And what I love about it is it's more like, so we can message, we can do voice messages. I can send pictures. They can send pictures. I can send videos. They can send videos. We can do a phone call. We can do a video call. So there's just a lot more ways for me to interact with people. And because of that, relationships do bloom. And I've really found that I do have a lot of people who are regulars, if you will, or people who are my subs or people who I own for quite a long time. And it's a really, really fun game because it's like, oh, so-and-so is back. Or, you know, sometimes I may not hear from somebody for a month, then they come back and we're going to do a 1-hour call and just catch up about all of our crazy stories. And so it really is kind of a choose your own adventure. And some days I'm going to do a bunch of calls. And then other days I'm going to be just sending pictures or sending voice memos. But it really allows that kind of one-on-one connection to sort of deepen and for us to really start to play into the deeper roles of like, where are we going this week? And me as the Dom, it's like, where am I directing you? Like, are you going to come this week? Are you not? Are you going to wear your chastity belt to work? Are you not? Are you going to tip me $1,000 because I asked for it? Are you not? You know, it's up to me to sort of think about where I want to direct the flow of the game. And that's also really fun for me. It piques my improv. I used to do improv as an actress. And so I think this is also another thing that I love about my job, is because it allows me to step into improv every day. Like, somebody comes to me, I say, what are you into? They might say, Goddess, oh, I'm into this or that, or Goddess, I'm so into your ass. Okay, great. Perfect. Now I have somewhere to go. So now we start playing, right? So there's certain fetishes that are just kind of well known in the world of femdom. And then there's just sometimes somebody will give me a very specific role play and ask me to be something extremely specific. So it really depends on the person and what they bring to me. And then I just flow with it from there and have fun with it.
Can you take us down like a specific type of a fetish and how you play into that? What do they say? What do you say?
Yeah, I would say one that's popular is small penis humiliation. And I find this one really fun to play with because, you know, a sub who is sophisticated in this fetish, there is no hurting his feelings. There is none. And I honestly kind of find it hot that somebody can just own something that they're meant to be, quote unquote, insecure about. I actually think that that's so powerful, you know, and I could just go on a riff and be like, oh, your little shrimp dick. Oh, I'm sorry, sweetheart. Do you see the size of this ass? You have to be at least 8 inches to ride. You're not even going to come close, are you? I bet my pinky finger would give me more pleasure than that pathetic little shrimp dick. Isn't that right?
Wow. And so they're like jerking off while you're saying this shit to them?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
All I know of this is, have you ever watched Euphoria?
I actually haven't.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Okay. Well, listeners, if you've watched Euphoria and Kat, so there's this one episode, this one character, her name is Kat, and she is a cam girl, and you see this guy's like very small penis, and she's like a high schooler. So like she has never seen something like that before. And she like starts like cracking up and laughing at it, but then he thinks that's hot and yeah, like starts, you know, jerking off. So what's the psychology behind that?
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about that?
Constantly.
Of course you have. Yeah.
Constantly. And what I've really kind of started workshopping in my own brain and has been coming more and more to me is that I think that sexuality is really linked to inner parts of our psyche and parts of ourselves that may want to be healed and released if we allow it to be. The pattern that I notice is a lot of times fetishes are linked to either things that are surrounding like deep taboo, deep shame, deep embarrassment, or like traumatic moments in someone's life. Like when it gets super specific, like somebody comes in, oh, I want you to laugh at me just like this and use your nails and be that hot high school girl bitch and give me a wedgie outside and say this exact same. And I'm like, this is a memory we're working through right now. And yeah, by you coming to me and submitting yourself to relive this, you're A, helping yourself gain perspective. B, you're helping yourself take control and take power over, because you're actually like, you know, getting off on it. And the sexuality aspect is like you're playing through it, you know, you're allowing this painful thing, which sometimes kink is formed out of. I even say it sometimes to people, like that was the time when you felt the most in your life, even if it was painful. And therefore that rush, even if it was pain, is more than you may have ever experienced. And therefore you're obsessed with trying to recreate it.
It's like chasing that dopamine hit or that adrenaline rush.
Adrenaline, yeah.
When someone's whole entire being comes on fire with emotion, right? Sometimes that may have taken over the most love they felt or the most horniness they felt in a vanilla relationship. And so I think that moment starts to become this pinnacle of like built up in their brain. And sometimes, like I said, sometimes it's more of not really a memory. It's more like, you know, being insecure about having a small penis. If you can come to me and you can get off on it, then you're really gaining power over it. And that's what I've come to realize, is that kink and sexuality are very much linked to healing and to spirituality. And like, we shouldn't feel shame about these things. And it's something that I really try to work in with my subs, even when they're the ones that are like, oh, humiliate me. I'm like, shame. You know, I really do try to, at the end, when there's self-care, when there's moments in between, to make sure that they know that from my perspective, they really shouldn't be embarrassed. And there's really nothing to feel bad about or shame about. Like, we're all into weird shit.
So there are times that you break character, quote unquote, and you are yourself with them.
I think that's probably a hallmark of sex work in general, is that a lot of times, you know, sometimes it's just the connection that's really is really what people are looking for. And I feel super blessed and lucky that I have been able to meet people sometimes in extremely vulnerable moments in their life. And I think to myself, like, you're not going to tell this to a therapist, you know, and any other, you know, another girl that you may have chosen to message instead of me, I'm glad that I can be here for you. And I have absolutely gone deep. I've had a sub, you know, come to me, honestly, to be frank with you, like, suicidal. And I dropped all pretenses and just went deep. And I was just sending him voice notes of like, okay, like, as a human, like, I'm here with you. Like, let's talk about this. Mm-hmm. And I just stopped charging him. And we chatted for maybe an hour. And I shared personal experiences. And he shared personal experiences. And then in the conversation, he said, I just want to say, like, the fact that you spent this time with me as a human just means so much. And he said, the best compliment I can ever give you is that you'll never see me or hear from me again. And I'm going to go do that thing that we talked about that I should go do, and this and that. And that to me, like, I mean, how much better does it get than that? Like, that's just beautiful. I'm just so grateful that I could be there for him.
So it's really like a form of therapy.
It is. I consider you a healer, honestly.
I have come to that place of realizing that's what it is. It took me a long time to, you know, really questioning my inner psyche. Like, am I just saying that to make myself feel better? But after time and digging deep and finding the efficacy that I feel and the way that I feel good delivering this service, I've realized that it really can be healing, and it really is healing. Sometimes people, when they don't know it, or they do. And I think that's really beautiful.
So I have a question for you. Like, in a lot of these femdom situations, you are, I don't want to say you're taking on a different persona, but you are role-playing in so many different versatile types of fetishes and kinks. Yes. Do you find that, and I'm not going to use this in the right word, but are you losing yourself a little bit in that, and your likes and desires and kinks? Are you meshing into all of them and finding that, wow, I like this stuff too? You know, how does it change your personal preferences in the sex world?
Yeah.
Great question, Al. Snaps.
It's funny. I have found that my interests are broadening greatly. I have found that you know, as I think it does, it evolves as you get older, but I've found that this is actually far more interesting to me than I ever thought was possible. I found in my personal life that there's still a level of, because right now Sasha is, you know, I do have an anonymous account. I keep my personal life and my online life a little bit removed. And I think that's been necessary for me to actually step into Goddess Sasha as much as I have, because that anonymity really gave me a safe place to play, and it allowed me to realize how much of a freak I really am. it's really, I've really found that, and now I'm in this place where I am integrating the you know, both sides of me. I'm finding where there are times that, and even, you know, my subs will talk about like, oh, you know, they'll even worship like the alpha that gets me off. Like, if a guy can make me submissive, they'll worship that guy, because, you know, it's like the hierarchy, because it's like, I dom you, but he doms me, and he gets me off, and he gives me pleasure. So you worship him. You know, it's so I'm allowed to be all aspects of myself. I even describe myself sometimes as bossy to betas, submissive to alphas.
So can you define alpha beta? What is that terminology? What does that mean?
I mean, in this day and age, there's a lot of definitions floating around, I would say, but I would say most alphas, you know, you think of the leader of the pack. Typically, one thing I've described it as is intrinsically motivated. So motivated from the inside out. These are people who have that get up and go, and they're going to go get what they want. And betas, you know, they're more followers. They're more like, and I've really dug deep on the masculine and feminine polarities and what this really is, because I found myself maybe in the same position as others of like thinking that being a beta male or being a submissive male isn't somehow like weird or wrong or like not natural or, you know, a lot of these things. And what I've really come down to realize is when you actually look at the way that masculine and feminine energy has worked together and succeeded, it's this, right? Woman and man, she's in a cave, baby coming in the oven. Hey, sweetie, wouldn't it be so great if we went and got that cave over there? What does the man do? He goes and provides. He goes and gives her what she wants. So the woman manifests by bringing to her. She's the visionary. I want this. You know, beta males are like, I'm kind of comfortable where I'm at with this job. I'm kind of comfortable where I'm at. But all of a sudden, when there's a beautiful, powerful woman in front of me saying, actually, I want you to be more focused on your job this week, so no coming for you. I want you to get that promotion because what's good for you is good for me, and I'm going to make you the best version of yourself. Aren't you lucky? Mm. So what I realized is that masculine energy wants to protect, provide, and serve feminine. So how is it not a valid expression of masculinity, these submissive males, these beta males? It is absolutely an authentic and valid expression of masculinity. It's just not alpha masculinity, but not everybody can be an alpha. You know, that just wouldn't work. But at the end of the day, they are still showing up in their masculine. They want to please me. They want to make me happy. They want to provide for me. They want me to not be stressed. Those are masculine traits. So I started to really realize this is not some perverted, bastardized thing. This is how we've been operating all through history. It's just everyone's on the spectrum, right? Do you want to be in a relationship where you feel that you want to be led, or do you feel that you want to do the leading? And everybody's different. There's somebody out there for everybody, and all of it is okay. And I've come to that place of realization, and I'm just grateful that I get to be in the position that I am, and let men particularly know that I really have come to the place of thinking it's not so bad. Like, I think they should just let their freak flag fly and let women boss them around because it makes them happy. So why not?
When this is like mind blowing, that description that you gave to me, like, I love it that. Makes so much sense. And when we think about like ancient cultures and even in the animal kingdom, like the females are the one that hunt when it comes to the lions, right? And the males don't. And it's this different polarity of masculine and feminine. Even in like Egyptian culture, the women are the queens and the goddesses. And I feel like it's such a lost, way of life for men and women. And I love that you've been able to extrapolate that into the work that you're doing now and making it not a bad thing. It's not a submissive, demasculating thing to be sub or beta.
No, it's just a thing, right? And I understand as well, a lot of these men, people don't think, oh, you're just nerds and losers in their basement. No, they're not. They're CEOs, they're bosses, they're business owners. They're people who tell people what to do all day long. And that's why it's not hot to them. Yeah. So that's why it's hot to me, because I'm not a yes man. I don't give a shit who you are. I don't care who bubba boss you are, because I'm pretty and I'm in front of you and I'm having my way right now. Yeah. That's why they want it hot, because I'm in charge. They turn their brain off. They just go to like happy la la land.
Yeah. I mean, I can resonate with that. And V, you're a sub, so you can resonate that la la land kind of a mode, or you just want to let go and be free, and how let just exhilarating. You know. So what are your favorite like dom roles to play in right now? Like, what's your favorite, and what are things that you say no to? Is there anything you say no to?
Yes, definitely. I mean, in my line of work, you do have to be very specific. Like, some things might seem like no-brainers, but you know, bathroom stuff, dog stuff, you know, not gonna happen. I also don't do age play, and I don't do race play. For me, it's like I could tell somebody, I could humiliate them and tell them that they're a loser and stuff, but there's just certain topics that I'm like, we don't need to feed that with anything other than love. We just don't need to add fuel to that fire. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just not, it's not a place that I will go. But other than that, honestly, I really like to be, I like it when cool things come across my desk that I haven't heard of. It sparks my creativity.
Sparks your creativity. And like, you get a chance to research and look into something new and something. I mean, this is something that we spoke about on our fantasies episode, actually, saying like, you know, things that you didn't even know existed, just being part of the lifestyle, and you're at a party and you're like, what the fuck is that toy? Oh my God. And then it's explained to you, and like, basically, yours is just like a different form of being introduced to new kinks and fetishes. Mm-hmm. So do you meet any of your clients in person? Or is this all web-based?
I personally don't. It's not something I'm 100% close to in the future. It just needs to be the right circumstances. I'm definitely not, like, I don't, it would be only kink meets. Like, I don't, yeah, I'm just very sensitive to energy, and this is the way that I like to play. It makes me feel safe to be online. And there are subs that become, you know, friends to the point that we get to know each other quite well. And in time, you know, it might be something that I'm open to, but as of right now, it's pretty, you know, it's good to have a bit of, you know, as people on the internet, you know, have a little bit of just fourth wall removal for privacy, all that.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, because that's always a question for me when I think of sex work is safety, especially for women. Not that men can't be in compromising situations as well, but, and then also kind of where is the delineation between your personal pleasure and what's happening at work? I used to see a dom and he was going to take it professional. And he, at that point, was kind of saying that he only wanted to dom men because he was mostly straight, heteroflexible, but mostly straight. And so he was like, you know, that's going to be my differentiation and delineation. It's like work is the men and women is my pleasure. Because he was a dom both at work and at home. Oh. So how about you? Do you have any kind of like hard boundaries that you're able to delineate?
I mean, I could say that, in my personal life right now, I'm not showing up too much in my dominatrix form, but I would like to. Like, I am in my personality and the way that I'm acting and the way that I have more assertiveness, as we spoke about. And it's something that I'm revisiting and finding, like, bringing the two sides of myself together. And I do have my own sort of practices, I guess you could say. Like, a day of work will get me pretty excited. So I sort of have, like, a... Because I don't, for me, if my subs don't see me come, that's not part of the deal. So I take it to myself. I'll get myself, you know, turned on. And then I kind of have like an after work, you know, have an after work drink, have an after work orgasm, you know, it's just like that. And just most of the time, I just get excited about like the day and how awesome and hot it was. And
are you single, may I ask?
Yes, I am. And it's good to have, you know, somebody who's kind of more open-minded with this being my line of work. But even more so, I've found it really great that in the people that I have been talking to or dating or seeing, when this comes out, they're honestly intrigued, excited. There's some men that are like immediately mortified, shocked, horrified, and those are not my men.
Exactly.
That's right. It's far more interesting for me to be able to be like, oh, babe, check this out. Or like, oh, check out this video I just made. And like, it's so funny or whatever. That to me is, I think my job is great. And I think that there's so much to say about my job on a daily basis that it's important to me that, you know, the people in my inner circle are understanding of that. And like, also see it the way I do and see it as fun and see it as like, wow, so quirky and hilarious and awesome.
Yeah, you end up connecting with a certain type of person who's open-minded. And I feel like if you end up hiding a part of yourself, like I think that's one of the things that I dislike the most about being in an open relationship and having this pot, like there's so many people who don't even know I have a podcast or that I have a sex game or anything like that. And I feel like I'm hiding a part of myself and it just sucks. Like I don't want to do that anymore, but there's just people that can receive this information and people who cannot. And I'm just now my life is aligning to people who can receive and enjoy in my joy and live in this with me. So
I get that. And I think for me, it was something that I was kind of I liked having it separate. And now I'm really coming to a place where, you know, all the parts of me are allowed to be around at the same time. You know, like I'm not keeping these two people separate anymore. Like they are one person. They are two sides of me. They are both valid. You know, I can be, you know, the goddess energy is not always love and light and rainbows and butterflies. Goddess energy, dark feminine, is destructive, seductive, like sensual,
powerful.
All of those things. Powerful, absolutely. And I think that as a society, it might be jarring or triggering at first for women to show up in their full power, and that's okay. because we should not shy away from it just because it's going to shock people, or they're not used to women showing up in this way. They're not used to women sitting down and being polite. Well, none of us would be here if we had followed those rules. So why swap there, right?
Yeah, amen.
Oh my God, Sasha, you just like touched a core part of my heart when you said like, I'm paraphrasing, but all the parts of me are allowed to be here at once. Mm-hmm. And that's so incredible. Oh my God.
You know, the lack of, you brought up how like, you know, we shouldn't stop showing up in these alpha roles, so to speak, or be dominant and feminine. And I find that there is such a need for this, like it being in an open relationship and in the lifestyle. And coming across all these males, they all seek and desire submissive or say beta types of situations. And we need more women like you to show up in this world. And this is something that I so much desire. So when you got into this, were you reading books? Did you take any courses? You said you had a mentor. Did you have a femdom mentor?
I did have somebody who helped me a little bit with just kind of this conversation, really just getting my brain around it. And then from there, I found whatever and anything that I could. I watched, there's actually a TED Talk on it. I watched that. I watched, you know, other doms making videos about it at first. I watched a ton of porn on it. I looked into all the fetishes that I didn't know. And I started to really become inspired as well by, you know, I think something that's great is like looking at people who are doing it and doing it good and being inspired and always being original, but just seeing like, what are the options? How is this? And what part of this fantasy or what part of this game do I feel myself coming alive in? Like, for example, you know, there's a level of femdom that is more harsh than I choose to be or want to be. And there's girls that love that. Like, they're just humiliatrixes and like they're just, and I, don't get me wrong, I like a good burn sesh. And, you know, I find myself in the sensual femdom kind of space where it's persuasion, it's mind fucking, it's getting you lost in what I'm saying, spinning this little tail. I really love that. That's where I really come alive. And everybody's different. Everybody's just like your submissive side might be, you know, rooted in different sort of themes, so can your dominant side. And one thing I was going to say earlier about how it's meshed into my personal life was I was going to say that now, like the alphas, quote unquote, in my life, if we're, you know, being intimate, it's sort of this like little power struggle now. Like it's sort of like, oh, am I, is it going to be me or is it going to be you? Or what if it's me? You know, and so this sort of like, this sort of argumentation for dominance is a whole other subculture of turn on in itself, because then, you know, if and when I do finally submit, it's like even more of that, like, oh, you really earned it. Like I kind of love that little struggle. Now it's like, oh, I'm going to give you a run for your money. You don't just get it now.
No, the little brat comes out in you. It sounds
yeah.
Like that.
You have to put me in my place. I'm not just going to go there.
Just to take it back, because I had a couple of other questions about kind of discovering different sides of yourself. So number one, did you say you studied acting?
I did.
That's so funny. I also studied acting.
Really?
And yeah. And I find that I'm seeking outlets in my life that allow me to play in that way that I was able to in rehearsals and just like try different things and try out speaking like this. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. So what you were kind of talking about getting into it, getting into being a dominatrix really resonated with me, and how like it satisfies you and to inhabit different roles and different
yeah, that creative aspect of me is so happy. Like my inner child just gets to play all day and like come up with crazy scenarios and laugh, honestly, laugh, mm-hmm. be creative. And I never really know where my day is going to take me. I could go on a call and, you know, it could be anything from mommy to daddy to like anything. Yeah. Mommy and daddy. I did mommy and daddy yesterday, which was cool.
But the thing is, like, we do all have all of these different aspects to ourselves. And it's not, for me, it's not enough to not inhabit some of them sometimes. And so to have sex as an outlet for those different sides of ourselves that maybe don't get to shine, you know, in our day-to-day life, it's really fucking awesome. Like there, if I didn't play around with sex and play around with BDSM, there probably wouldn't be a space for me to, you know, say the kinds of things that you're saying and, you know, really submit to someone like I do with Elle sometimes, you know, it's like, it's so healing to be able to do that.
Yeah. And you're doing it in a playful, laughing, you know, light environment that makes it easier to kind of adapt to these things. And I find that, like, you know, for me, role playing is difficult. Acting was not something I grew up with. I'm so logistical and realistic that to tap into my creative side is challenging for me. And it's been fun that in certain scenarios, I did primal play and animal play and acted like a cat and a dog and did the dom where I was the teacher and there was a sub. And then obviously the role that I align with is Dr. Sexy, which is my doctor role patient, because I'm in the medical world and that is so easy for me to dive into, but it's so fun to be naughty and sexy around it too. So it's a really nice way to tap into the creative side that I also want to get into more too. So
yeah. And it's okay to, you know, it's instant forgiveness is something that we have as actors on the stage, which is just this concept of like, you mess up your line or you stumble or somebody else is on stage and they stumble. It just has to be instant forgiveness of all of it. And it's the same thing with this. If I stumble over my words or if I don't, you know, I have a call that doesn't go well or I feel insecure, whatever, instant forgiveness. It's just play and you get another try again and you stumble over your words. They're still hard. They're still jacking off. You get the words right the next one and then they're moaning and then everything is all good.
Yes. Well, and the way that you said too, it takes so much pressure off of you. If you are even meeting someone at 50% of what their kink is, like that, it's so true. And I took myself back through like times when I've asked people to do things like that they weren't necessarily like super quote unquote good at or experienced at, like, you know, spanking or something like that. Some people have not done like a proper impact session, you know? That's satisfying for me if like they're pushing themselves a little bit and I'm getting a little bit of what I want. It's great. And instant forgiveness. I love that. Yeah.
It's just play.
So many good terms you're bringing up. Oh, I love these nuggets.
I want to know in the kink world, what are the latest fetishes or what has been like a surprising fetish for you that you want to share?
Yeah, there's definitely a couple interesting ones. One that was really throwing me for a loop for a minute was giantess fantasy. So I was getting approached like, can you do giantess fantasy?
Like you and, are a, you know, giant.
I'm an improv. My answer is always yes and, but I'm like, what does that entail? Like, I'm not sure. You know, and so I'm kind of going along, okay, you're going to shrink me down, right? Like, yeah, I'm going to shrink you down. Like, how small? I'm like, a centimeter? Like, smaller. I'm like, a micro centimeter. and then where are you going to put me? And so I was just kind of going along with it, but not really understanding, like, the ethos of this fetish. Like, what's the
psychology? Yeah.
Like, yeah, like, where is this coming from? Like, is it just that you like big women? Is it like, it really threw me for a loop until I came to a point and realized it, well, actually recently, Elle, you were there, that it's really about them wanting to be with me through every aspect of my day. It's really about them wanting to be, even in the nether regions of me that, you know, may not be so desirable, are still so desirable for them that they are just a little amoeba, a little speck in my gorgeous vessel being, and they just get to hang out there. And be with me all the time when I go to the gym and get sweaty. And like, I really started to understand that's sort of where it comes from. And so this one was fascinating to me for quite a while because it just, I wasn't understanding the real, real kicker to it.
Yeah. So they'll be like, put me in your bra or put me in your pussy, yeah, or, like, you know.
In your pants. I had one guy, a long time ago, I was actually on a live stream and on my face, I was really trying to like withhold my surprise, just not getting it. It's like, I want you to put me up your ass and I want to play in the boulders there. And I'm like, Are we talking about the same thing right now? He's like, does that freak you out? I just want to make a house in your boulders. And then what will I eat? I'm just like, I don't know. He's like, I want to eat the boulders. Does that freak you out? No.
And what do you say in that scenario?
I mean, I'll be honest, since that was really my first foray into the world of giantesses a couple years ago, I was really just going along with it, but really, really, really confused, really not understanding, really shocked. Yeah. And at the same time, now it's like, it's a little bit harder to shock me. And now it's just always like, okay, yeah. Like, and sometimes they'll correct me and be like, oh, you're a bad boy. Like, no, I'm a good boy. I'm like, yeah, you're a good boy. You know, it's just, so it's always, even within the fetish, there's no right or wrongs. Everybody's going to be slightly different. Some people are going to want to, you know, make houses out of my sweaty ass sweat rather than the boulder. No, so it's definitely lots of variety is a spice of life.
Wow.
Oh, but I was talking to you about like latest fetishes. One thing you said was like, oh, pregnancy. Oh, people will pay big bucks to see pregnant women. You're rare. You're, you know, not
getting milk.
I'm like, I will shoot my milk all over the screen every day, all day.
Another one that's been on the rise is like sissification, which is like becoming a sissy, you know, guys kind of becoming feminized. But even deeper than that, like actually infantilizing people. So like babies or like men sending me pictures of them, you know, with a pacifier in, and like they are usually very deep into humiliation and, you know, mommy fetish. And I think this also may come from just the fact that in general, you know, people are stressed, people are reminiscing back to a time where they didn't have to make the decision. Somebody took care of them. Somebody did all the shit they didn't want to do. And they were just a helpless little infant. And so I think in this world of stress, this world where, you know, men and women, we have a lot on our shoulders, I think it makes sense that this kind of escape fantasy land is on the rise, because there's a lot on a lot of people's shoulders, and a lot of, you know, specifically men are, you know, trying to keep it all together and keep their strength for their women. And this is sort of this naughty side of them that they don't think is worthy of love and yet wants to be expressed, because they have decision fatigue. Like they've got a lot of stress. They're just ready to unwind and let somebody else take charge. And I didn't expect this, but, you know, this job has given me a lot more compassion for men, because I've realized the vast amount of men who have these desires and don't feel safe sharing it with women. Whether that woman be a woman they just met or somebody who's very deep significant other. And I find that, honestly, I feel like as women, we, you know, like that, I think a lot of women are like me, and the first time somebody asked them, I was scared doing it wrong. And I think that it's important as women that maybe we could give men a little more grace here, because I personally feel like as a woman, I could come up with any dark desire, fantasy, and go to my man, and it would be pretty socially acceptable, at least more socially acceptable, for him to fulfill that crazy, I want to be hogtied and fuck in front of a million people, I want to be fucked by a million people. Like, I feel like that is more like, oh yeah, girls got to get what they want, you know, girls are, I feel that that's more socially comfortable. And so many men, you know, as women, maybe they even have had women say, oh, it's gay to want stuff in your butt. Oh, that's super gay that you want me to take charge. And I honestly think that it's just because the woman might be afraid of her own power, or maybe afraid of doing it wrong, or might be uncomfortable. But it's really important to, you know, just practice kindness with our partners when they are so vulnerable to come to us with something like this, like a king. And I think that also there's healing on both parts. Like, I think that, you know, as women, don't we want men to worship our beauty and tell us that we're gorgeous? And, you know, like, don't we want those things? Because I would say the first step of kind of submissive men, I would say like the gateway kink, if you will, is body worship. Which in and of itself is really not super. It's like a man will come to me and he says that he's new, he's trying this out for the, you know, first couple times, immediately body worship, because what do men like? Women. What do men like even more? Naked women, women's bodies. And so this is sort of a really easy stepping stone to, like, you like my ass, right? Tell me how you would love to think about my ass. Oh, but wait, you already do. First thing in the morning, last thing before you go to sleep. Tell me what kind of an effect this ass has on you. And it allows them to step into, like, first of all, it builds my confidence as a woman because I'm having my man just shower me in compliments or whatever man I'm, you know, playing with. And secondly, the man starts to learn, like, oh, she, let's glorify her. Let's make her feel good. Let's let her step into her confidence. And so I think this is a really good kind of opening gateway that people go to.
So you've mentioned a lot men versus women and working with men. Have you ever worked with women?
I have, and it is so much fun. I have worked with a couple of trans women, which I find deeply exciting and just so even more of like a rush and a thrill. And I've also worked actually with, this is more new, this is with a couple of other, you know, we could call them baby doms. So the kid, and this is kinky because they'll like go in cam or they'll go work all day just so they can give me everything they need.
Oh my gosh.
Oh wow. My God.
So hot.
Oh my God.
So what do you guys do in a session together?
It does depend. I mean, of course, like it could depend, but a lot of times like I could be encouraging her to go be a better dom just so that I can, it's like in a way, like I'm going to pimp you out, make you the best dom that I can just so that you can come back and give it all to my greedy ass. How does that sound? And so, you know, if we're going more to financial domination, that would be kind of my route. And typically doms that come to me, they have the same kink I do, which is financial domination. So it can go both ways, right? If you're a switch, you're into taking control over financial domination, you're into giving it sometimes. And honestly, I've actually thought about one time too, and I'm like, I better not go down this route. I better not.
Well, so can you tell me a little bit about financial domination? Because I actually haven't heard much about this.
Yeah, it is.
What is it?
One of, it's quite
and what's
interesting.
The appeal?
So financial domination really comes from, you know, the basic everybody's understanding is that it's just men giving money to women just for the sheer fact of them being beautiful, untouchable, perfect creatures that we are. And, you know, on the surface, you could say that it's just that, but it really goes a lot deeper than that. Of course, nothing, you know, some girls will just get, you know, sometimes it is that simple. Sometimes it is just, okay, send me $5. Okay, double it. Okay, double it. Okay, great. You know, sometimes it is. But more often than not, I find that financial domination usually either pairs well with another kink, or when you really get into it, it is one of the most technical fetishes because there's no blueprint. This is all you have to work with. And one move can just set it off, you know, take them out. And so it comes down to being extremely intentional with what you say, how you say it, how you move. And it's this, it's really one of the deepest power dynamics that there is. And so that's one of the things that fin subs or a submissive, financial domination sub really love is that rush. And it's something that I love too, to just know that like all of that effort of working for you to just send it to me in one send is like, whoosh.
Yeah.
Well, it is true control. It is true domination. It is true, like, you work so hard for it because it's mine. You came to
and
give
it's
it
true
me.
Submission on the other side. Wow.
It is. And so whenever I'm doing a financial domination session, those are the ones that I typically will focus a lot on the aftercare for and make sure, like, I check in the next day. Because, you know, sometimes if this is, you know, four digits and up sends, like, that can be a big drop off. Just like if a guy made you squirt six times, like that, you could have a huge drop off, right? Mm-hmm. And any kind of ethical dom is going to make sure that you're supported through that drop off, and that you're held and you're not just abandoned. And so that's something that becomes kind of important to me when it comes to financial domination. And some of the best fin doms out there are absolutely ruthless, and don't give two shits. And if that's their game and that's their client, you know. At a certain point, we have something that we call, which is basically like you're responsible for your own kink and managing your own, because I don't know. I could be talking to a millionaire. I could be talking to somebody on their last $10. Yeah. There's no way for me to verify and know that. And at a certain point, people do need to take responsibility.
Yeah.
And every dom needs to be okay with how they're showing up. And, you know, and if that's only their business, and my business is only how I show up.
Oh, I love that. What a great reminder. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of a quote that Jay and I always say to each other. We're like, you're in charge of your own orgasm. And like, mm-hmm. you know, it's like we're all adults here consensually participating in these sexual games and sexual exchanges. And so if you're not comfortable with how that exchange went, then you need to express that.
Mm.
And amen. So, yeah, I love that. You're in charge of your own kink too.
Yeah. And honestly, a lot of my subs too, well, even this is an example of like, they know that financial domination is kind of my kink. It's what turns me on the most. And so a lot of times it kind of plays into our play where maybe they're not even into financial domination. They're just into small penis humiliation. But I throw a particularly good insult their way and they're going to, oh, goddess, you own me. And they send. Because mm-hmm. they know that to me, it's like, oh, you really want to turn me on? That's how you turn me on. That's how I feel really, really, honestly, it gets me wet. Mm-hmm. Something like I've been, you know, before, even when I'm, you know, I'm in a session, if I could say, I've been, you know, in accounts before and sending myself and they're just, you know, giving me their consent and permission, but it's so fucking hot. You know, I remember one of my first times, Sasha, take more. I'm like, takes more. Sasha, double it. Please take more from me. Please. Oh, wow, this is really hot.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I was going to ask you, like, what are some of the things that you ask them to send money for? Like, how do you get them to send you more money?
Sometimes, you know, there's a thing that some girls won't do. I haven't personally done this, but there's some things where they'll put out a video and they'll make it like $300. They'll be like, only unlock this if you're really fucking stupid. And then it's basically just like spam. It's just like their face turning around a bunch of times like a clown for like 6 minutes. Oh. And so like, it's part of this like wink, wink, poke, poke kind of thing. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, the time I do financial domination most now is in my live streams. And I do also do it a lot in one-on-one. It could happen in so many ways. It could happen them sending me a tip. It could happen me exerting control over them. It could happen most of the time I'm gonna do a flurry of things. It's going to be like a photo and then a voice message and then a task, and then, oh, you're so lucky you got to do that task for me. Well, you should make me feel lucky too. So send me $30 just because I want it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So there's many ways, and there, like I said, financial domination really can go into other fetishes really well. And so a lot of times you will find that it's one of the themes that are being played with. And there are some doms that are just spin dom. They don't even, there is no pictures. There's nothing. There's just send me money, fuck you.
Oh my God, that's wild.
Yeah.
So what is like the least that you made? And like, what's the top tier have you made once before? Like, what has been that exhilarating number?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, anything over 4 digits for me is super exhilarating. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've definitely, like the lowest, I mean, back in, you know, CB days, it could be $40 for 4 hours of work. And now when I'm dealing with people on an individual basis, it's so different because I'm able to offer so much more.
Yeah.
And so there's also like subs where I might just, you know, be doing a session with them and it's like $10-$15. And then all of a sudden on the sixth time we've played, you know, it's full send. It's like triple digit sends of the whole session. And he, you know, sometimes men guys will even save up for me and say like, okay, I saved up for you for a drain. Now you're going to drain me properly. So yeah, I really love anything 4 digits and above really, really gets me going for sure. But I also love it when someone's like, I've never done FinDom before, but you're just so perfect. So here's $20 like that. You know, it's all goes to the same place.
Yeah. It's still a compliment, right? It just feels nice. It's just as good as saying you're so beautiful, goddess. You're gorgeous.
It is. You know? It is. I always say to the guys, like you have 3 ways to provide me value. You either entertain me, you make me laugh and humiliate yourself, or you sacrifice by sending to me. Those are the 3 methods of currency we have here. Because I'm going to do everything perfect and be amazing, and you're going to love everything I'm going to fucking do. But what am I getting out of this? So you better jump super high when I say it. You better entertain me. You better make me laugh. You better be eager to please. And you better be sending, because that's what we're here for.
Mm. Amen.
I'm thinking about that, like, as a submissive. And there is something about, like, how you're describing it. It's kind of, I don't know. I'm like, do I send her money? Like,
you're like ready to send her money right now.
Like, I'm trying to think of like what that would do for me as the sub. And right now it's the holidays, right? And I'm spending like so much money, and it feels so good to spend money on people that I appreciate in my life. And so if I had a beautiful fin dom, right, who's telling me to send the money and like is spending time with me, quote unquote, like it gives me a level of I don't know. I'm sitting here trying to find the words for, and like analyzing.
And it goes,
yeah.
Back. If you think about subs, one to please, that's a dynamic of subbing is, and so by knowing that your findom likes that reward, that for you to give that to them is satisfying for the both of you.
Yeah. And it's even deeper too, of like knowing that I get to live a stress-free, easy life. That's what I deserve, you know, and that's what they provide for me, or allowing, you know, a lot of them love to buy me gifts and stuff like that too. And it goes back to the masculine and feminine thing of like just feeling useful. And when you have a guy who's, you know, maybe a bit more on the shy side and has these urges, you know, if I become somebody who's an ongoing findom with them, it's like, yeah, I want you to go to sleep early tonight so you can get that promotion for me, because I'm giving you the inspiration for you to go and get the prize for me. Because without me, this beautiful goddess inspiring you, there would be no pep in your step. You would not give a shit. You would just be like, my job pays the bills. But because of me, I have you striving to be your best. I have you going to work with pep in your step to know that you get to come home and break out of Sasha all your good little spoils and see that cute little smile on my face and be told that you are a good boy. And so,
and you want to feel, like you just said, you want to feel useful. That's really
purpose. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's purpose. There's this underlying layer of like, me, if I was your sub, like I'd be showing myself that I can also afford it to give you the money. And I'm not, I mean, hopefully none of your subs are destitute and giving you their last dollar, but like, and maybe also psychologically, it's like that people pleaser, like trying to control what other people think of you. So like, if you're my dom, I'm trying to control, like the sub's always actually the one in control, right? So like, I'm trying to control what you think of me by giving you more money. I want you to like me more and spend more time with me. Really? Layers of psychology. It's so fascinating.
Honestly, it's such a fascinating journey, and I enjoy it. I enjoy the unfoldings of it more and more each day, honestly.
Well, so how did you get into it at the very beginning? You said you stripped at parties.
So basically like a handful of parties. I started off and would go to a party and like do some dancing. I've always been somebody who, I'm very comfortable earning money being viewed in my sexuality. I'm very comfortable being a performer. And when it comes to actually having sex with people, that for me definitely needs to be like very separate from transaction. So for me, that's like a line of like, I have no, like, I love being viewed for being sexy and making money for it. It turns me on. It's fun. And at the same time, I started to find that, yeah, there was for me, you know, how do I control what party I'm showing up to? The truth is I can't. But the truth is with online work, it's all my party. We're on my page. We're in my room. I make the rules.
It's all my party.
It's my party.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So it's just, you know, it was a stepping stone for me to realize like, okay, I am morally and okay, like the act of being viewed in my body and making money for that, it feels good. I like that.
Were you always a sexual person?
Always.
Okay. Where are you from, may I ask, originally?
I'm from the West Coast. I'm Canadian.
Okay. And do your parents know what you do?
Yeah. What's your personal life? Your friends, they know.
Yeah. So the family thing for me, you know, I come from a pretty conservative background. And so for me, that is the reason that I pretty much really focused on anonymity, as well as I do, you know, I'm a personal trainer and I have other stuff going on. So I like to, you know, I like to have my little bit of compartmentalization, just so, like I said, I can have more fun in it and I can be more adventurous, because I know that this is safe for me to show up as Sasha fully. My friends all pretty much know what I do now. I wouldn't say it's like common knowledge to, you know, acquaintances and stuff like that. But anybody in my inner circle knows that this is what I do. And that's been really empowering. And as I've told them and realized people's reaction to it, is something like I can live with. Like I can, I'm comfortable and I feel like I'm showing up authentically in a way that feels like I can own it. Like I'm not ashamed of what I do whatsoever. I'm actually quite proud of it. I think it's amazing. And it's in a way where when I was just camming and just kind of relying more on my body and less on my mind, I wasn't feeling as in alignment. I was feeling a little bit more like I was at their mercy or something like that. And so this feels so much more, true to me. And so therefore it's like, I don't have a problem owning it. I don't have a problem speaking like I've spoke to you and explaining where this comes from if people don't get it. And so it's allowed me to have a lot more sort of bravery with it and just be like, I allow that this is part of me. This is a part of my life. I'm not ashamed of it.
This is beautiful.
I'm so happy for you. I don't know you and where you came from, but it just seems like you're really inhabiting your full self. And that's so beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah. And like Sasha, when I met you like a year ago, like I feel like who I met a year and a half ago is different than the woman that we have in front of me today. Would you agree with that?
I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
I totally agree. This has been, this has changed me in ways that I wasn't quite, prepared or expecting it to. And I'm so grateful. This has been part of my healing journey. this has been part of my growth and it continues to be. And I've really sort of gained back parts of myself that were afraid of shining too bright or being too bold or being too loud, because now I have a whole army of people who remind me every single day that it is okay for me to be that loud, bossy girl who was too much, girl who she shouldn't stop answering so many questions. No, they love me for that. Yeah. They would never want me to change.
Yeah.
So it's helped me to realize that that's okay. It's okay to be the bossy bitch.
Mm-hmm. Girl who was too much. You got that too?
Mic drop. Beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, wait. I had something else I wanted to say. God damn it. Well, we'll just have to have you back.
I feel like we could talk about this forever. It's such an interesting world and one that I'm grateful and glad people like you are bringing eyes to. Mm-hmm. Because it's just good that we just in general drop judgment and shame over each other, especially with something as intimate as kinks. Like just let people be kinky.
Quick questions, rapid fire questions. What do you wear when you're doing it?
A lot of lingerie. I am always dressed to impress. Black is definitely my go-to and red is probably my second. And then green, my favorite color, the color of money. So that's up there too.
And to share with our listeners, she's wearing a gorgeous red V-neck lingerie top right now.
My scrubs from the day,
And you mentioned a flogger or a whip that you were getting ready in this party situation. So have you ever used like impact tools in a party situation as a dom?
Yes, I have. And also with my first partner who I really started to explore it with, we would do impact play back and forth that he would kind of open up with. And that was really fun. So that was cool for in person for me to kind of learn a little bit about, how far is too far, because I had always been on the sub side previously of like, nothing is too far.
Sounds like a few people I know.
Everyone has pain tolerance or masochism interests. So it's important to go at their pace. I do use my flogger as well as a prop in my streams. Because I do encourage my subs as well to do impact play on themselves or to do physical play or to do tasks. So sometimes it's good if I know that we're going to do kind of more of like another fetish that you may not know, but it's CBT, cock and balls torture. Mm. So this could be, anything from like pull on your ball sack, smack your balls, hit your cock, spank your ass. All that's on the table. So stuff like that, I would definitely have my flogger out just to add like the extra visualization of you're my little bitch.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Because it is interesting. Like we've only ever really focused in this podcast on like in person dynamics. Mm-hmm. And it's a whole other thing to do it through a screen. So I like that you just mentioned that, because that's something I wouldn't have even thought of, is like just having a visual prop and like to help, you know, break down the barrier of having the screen between you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But ultimately that's all you've got, right? Like the tease and the visual.
Mm. Yeah.
One of the funny things that just keeps popping in my mind is you're talking about impact play on yourself. I remember this one time I was marcoing with Svetlana, and in the background of her audio, I heard your slapping of yourself, whether you were spanking yourself. And Svetlana was like, "Can you hear that? Can you hear that? Sasha's working right now."
Wait, this is that girl. That is so funny. Oh my God.
They won.
That's amazing.
So she, I have witnessed it, ladies and gentlemen. She practices what she preaches.
That's so funny. I never knew that story. She was so great. She would only, like, only one time, she's like, "Okay, babe, keep it down a little bit." I'm like, "Sorry, I'll try." That's what I was going for. You got to get the real impact, you know? You got to get the real.
Yeah.
That's impressive that you can, like, have the, I don't know, range of motion to be able to, like, smack yourself so well. Yeah. That's awesome.
Uh-huh. Trobe.
So any final, like, messages you want to leave with our listeners, or either tips, like, words of advice?
Be open to play in yourself, in your partners, and just you can always learn something new, and you can always find something new that you didn't think you were going to be into, and you might be. So just, you know, keep it easy, keep it light, keep it fun. It's all fun.
Approach it with curiosity always, not judgment. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Wait, it's a long life, you know?
Yeah. I'm so happy you came on to share this, like, this light energy and playfulness that you bring to this line of work is just so refreshing and encouraging and makes me more curious. And maybe I'm going to schedule a session with you. I'm like, damn, girl. So thank you so much for being so candid with us and sharing all your personal and professional experience.
Thank you.
Well, where can people find you? Are you open to taking new clients? Like, how do we find you?
I am. Yeah. Probably the best place to find me is twitter.com/SashaSilverXO. It has my link in my bio is my website with all the platforms that I use and, you know, ways to interact with me. And Twitter's just kind of a good landing base to try to start to get a feel for me as a Dom and what I offer. And just if you want to connect, and always open to new subbies to play with.
Is it still Twitter or is it X? X.com a thing? X.com.
Oh, yeah. It's still, the actual URL is still Twitter.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, everybody, I want to hear from you guys. What do you want to talk about next? I mean, we can bring Sasha back on for some more. Go ahead, baby.
I have my hand raised. I actually just got an idea what I want as a listener. I want to have Sasha back on, and I want us to play Horrible Life. Ooh. On the episode.
Yeah.
And share some anecdotes. That would you be down for that, Sasha?
I would be super down for that. Yes.
Yeah. And me and you need to collaborate on how to expand this deck, because you have a lot of experience with some kings.
It definitely adds a couple wild cards in there. Yeah. Oh, it's so much fun. What a great time, you guys. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast and being open to hearing the world of femdom.
Yeah, thank you. Well, thank everyone, you join in on the conversation. Send us an email at girlsgonedeep@gmail.com. We're on Instagram at girlsgonedeeppod. And a thank you to our sponsors, Horrible Life, which is a card game of have you ever, all things sex and kink. So get your hands on your first deck and get 10% off with code GONEDEEP.
So one more thing to add, we do have an affiliate link with Woo. Go ahead and click in our description of this episode and all the episodes moving forward. If we have given you pleasure, joy, value, if you keep tuning in, this is a really great way that you can support us and support this podcast. It doesn't cost you anything extra, but it does give us a little bit. So
thank you.
Appreciate you using that.
Highly recommend. recommend the Woo After Wash. It's a pH balance wash. It is in all of my bathrooms and I travel with it. And I also love their Woo Wipes, which is your after sex wipe. And it is a way to freshen yourself up and clean yourself up when you're at a sex
party. I use it before sex too. Yes. And I smell delicious. It smells like coconut.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, ooh, it smells like coconut. Someone brought the Woo out.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for tuning in and we will catch you on the next episode.
Bye.